The following is a recording of the Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. We are also located on the web at www.tpuuf.org. Please come visit us.
Welcome to Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. Thank you for coming, and to those on Zoom land, thank you also for joining us. This is a sacred place because we get together and all search for meaning and truth in our own way. And one of our principles, as you use, an important one, is the freedom of conscience. And let's keep that in mind. But thank you all for coming. I start with a reading. It matters what we believe. I'll read both parts. Some beliefs are like walled gardens. They encourage exclusiveness and the feelings of being especially privileged. Other beliefs are expansive and lead the way into a wider and deeper sympathies. Some beliefs are like the shadows, clouding children's days with fears of unknown calamities. Other beliefs are like sunshine, blessing children with the warmth of happiness. Some beliefs are divisive, separating the saved from the unsaved, friends from enemies. Other beliefs are bonds in a world community where sincere differences beautify the pattern. Some beliefs are like blinders, shutting off the power to choose one's own direction. Other beliefs are like gateways, opening wide vistas for our exploration. Some beliefs weaken a person's selfhood. They blight the growth of resourcefulness. Other beliefs mature self-confidence and enrich the feeling of personal warmth. Some beliefs are rigid, like the body of death, impotent in a changing world. Other beliefs are pliable, like the young sapling, ever growing with the upward thrust of life. I light this chalice with the words from Thomas Jefferson in 1787, from Notes on the State of Virginia. He wrote, "The error seems not sufficiently eradicated that the operators of the mind, as well as the acts of the body, are subject to the coercion of the laws. But our rulers can have authority over such natural rights only as we have submitted to them. The rights of conscience, we never submitted. We could not submit. We are answerable to them for our own God. The legitimate powers of government extend to such acts only as are injurious to others. But it does me no injury for my neighbor to say there are 20 gods or no God. It neither picks my pocket nor breaks my leg." Would we respond with this words as I say them, as we've all said them? May peace be with us. Gathering song is "Here We Have Gathered." Words by Alicia Carpenter.
Here we have gathered, gathered side by side.
We have, sorry about that, we have our children will now, we'll sing our children out, our child out. Now in peace, go now in peace, may the beauty of love surround you everywhere, everywhere you. Through the magic of technology, we have someone all the way from New England. Rebecca Mattis lives in Vermont, where she attends a Unitarian Universalist Church of Rutland. She's active in her church, and this year was a candidate for the UUA Board of Trustees. For many years, Rebecca was a middle school math teacher, and she currently teaches adults. She also volunteers teaching English to asylum seekers from Central America and to refugees from Ukraine. This is her 11th sermon. So we are very happy to have Rebecca come and speak to us today.
Thank you, Mike. Can you hear me all right?
Coming through great.
Yes, we can hear you.
All right. Well, good morning, everyone. I really wish I could be there in person with you. The fact that your fellowship is named after Thomas Paine is very intriguing, and it prompted me to learn more about him. So maybe someday I can visit you. So I was asked to write a sermon for you on the subject of liberal religion, after I campaigned for a seat on the Unitarian Universalist Association's Board of Trustees this year. I was one of two candidates running under the banner of liberalism, the key precepts of which we highlighted as freedom, reason, and tolerance. I was hoping to get between 10 and 15% of the vote, and I ended up with 10.4%. So it wasn't a total disaster. After agreeing to speak to you, I sat down, did a bunch of research, and wrote a two-page historical definition of liberal religion and a four-page analysis, and it was all very well explained and thorough. But then I realized all I needed was today's prelude by Harry Belafonte, from which I quote, "Do you know who I am? Do I know who you are? See we one another clearly? Do we know who we are?" That's it. That's all there is to it. To me, that's liberal religion. But let me go ahead and give you a more scholarly definition and some background, not two pages, I promise. So before the Enlightenment era, the focus of society was on the social order, and individuals were required to conform to that order. The scientific method was undeveloped. Rather, the church hierarchy decided what was true. Since the advent of Enlightenment liberalism, the focus is on individual rights and liberty and advancement of society through the use of reason and discourse. Now, when I say liberalism, keep in mind that I'm not talking about any political party one might call liberal. I'm talking about the foundation of our democracy, the Enlightenment, and not a political faction. Religious liberalism is a daughter of the Enlightenment, sharing the same values. As you use, we think of liberal religion as centering on freedom of belief, and that is certainly true for us. But not all liberal religions have freedom of belief. What makes a religion liberal is the free use of reason. The focus is on critical thinking and discernment of truth through rational inquiry, as well as the inherent worth of each individual. Liberal religions stand in contrast to fundamentalism, where the focus is on strict adherence to dogma, in-group and out-group distinctions, moral purity, and rejection of diversity of opinion. So that's the liberal part. Now, what's my definition of religion? To me, a religion is a spiritual and moral community attending to the human condition with regular practices of togetherness and transcendence. By this definition, a creed is unnecessary. UU congregations nourish the spirit through weekly practices that include beautiful music, group rituals, and thoughtful sermons. As religious people and as UUs, we are encouraged to build our personal integrity within our social relations. These practices feed our minds and spirits in a wonderful space of human sharing. Do you know who I am? Do I know who you are? See we one another clearly? What beautiful humanizing questions. They are a powerful antidote to prejudice, stereotyping, and what some call othering, which are all dehumanizing forces. Dehumanization has had its uses throughout history. Psychologically speaking, when we dehumanize others, we make things much easier for ourselves on some level. We categorize the world into friend and foe and run our moral programs based on that division. This does have an evolutionary purpose. For example, people who spend a lot of time considering the humanity of their enemies don't usually survive battles. It's important that we understand that the capability to dehumanize others is there because it has contributed to survival and that it exists in all human beings. On the other hand, to see others as akin to ourselves, to humanize them, also exists in all human beings, and it too is there for survival purposes. Human beings have been so extraordinarily successful in their evolution because much more than any other animal, we have the desire to cooperate with others, even when they are not genetically related. To see the humanity in another person makes empathy, connection, and cooperation possible. When we are in this mode, we understand that each other person is an individual with thoughts, feelings, and needs of their own. Right now, for example, although I don't really know any of you, I can try to imagine what your needs might be. I imagine that you are here at this Sunday service for various reasons. I understand that each of you brings something different to this moment and will come away with something different. Therefore, although you are a hazy idea in my mind, a somewhat formless group of people I can't really see through this computer screen, although you're all like about this big, which helps. I can see you as individuals now. I can also keep in mind the individual humanity of each of you. So doing this as a regular practice can have instant and wonderful results. For example, I have a certain amount of anxiety when I find myself in a group of strangers. I'm not always sure of myself, and I feel like I have to perform. But if I imagine myself surrounded by other human hearts with their own frailties and needs, I'm suddenly relieved of that anxious burden. I become much softer inside, more able to listen to the things I hear. Time expands, and I become more patient with myself and others. I feel that I belong. That is a spiritual practice, and it is also a liberal practice. It's a practice I have faith in, which is to say, I stick with it. I don't give up, even when it's difficult, and even when I fail. My liberal faith means that I have an internal orientation towards the inherent worth of other people and towards a willingness to interact with them with an open mind, to learn what is true. My faith in liberalism also means that I trust liberal practices to promote well-being, and it really does deliver. I often forget to practice, but I have never, ever regretted the effort. A liberal practice like this that asks, see we one another clearly, is opposite to a fundamentalist practice, which only desires to know who is in the in-group, who is in the out-group, who is pure, and who must be silenced. If you set those words to music, you get a horrible song. I want to tell you a story about how I became more liberal, more able to value the dignity and worth of other people. In 2017, in January, in response to the United States presidential election, I decided to run for local office. At that time, my mindset was very much of the us and them type. The fact is, I hardly knew any Republicans, and I certainly never discussed politics with the few that I did know. The other side of the aisle was a very hazy blob indeed. In my mind was an orange man with millions of person-shaped cardboard cutouts behind him with angry frowns and red hats. To my surprise, I was elected along with five others. And when I walked into City Hall for my first meeting, I discovered my seat was right next to one of my opponents, a man I did not know, but quite despised. I truly saw this man as an enemy. So in that seat, I felt uncomfortable and lonely. But it is not my internal orientation to fortify walls between myself and others. And I worked to see my foes as people, which didn't take long. Moreover, as the months passed, I began to learn about running a city and about policy making. I became aware of the idea of unintended consequences, how people can pass laws with good intentions that just end up making some things worse. I began to train my critical thinking on my own political assumptions. Over the years on city council, I also learned that policies created in a political bubble will almost always have big holes in them. So in that way, I began to value my political foes, not just as people, but as people with something important to say, something crucial. I learned that sound policymaking must be inclusive of the greatest variety of voices. It was a soul-expanding thing to discover that the millions of Americans I had thought were my enemies, all those cardboard cutouts, were actually potential friends, helpers, and teachers. In this way, my time in politics was in fact a religious experience. I heard a sermon last week at my church in which the speaker said, "We don't promise epiphanies here at church. Church is where we come to put our epiphanies to work." So my epiphany on city council doubled the size of my world, and it is part of the reason I'm on a mission of sorts within liberal religion to wave the flag for liberal religion. We UUs are human beings, and therefore our congregations are not free from us and them thinking. You can tell who is in the out-group by who gets casually disregarded or disparaged on Sunday mornings. In my experience, this is usually Republicans, Christians, and theists. The minister of my church is very sensitive to this kind of talk, I've found, and I'm grateful for it. For example, the Sunday after the 2016 presidential election, our sanctuary was chock full of drowning people who were just grasping for a line. And she reminded us that although many people present were upset by the election results, there were also many people in the country who were very happy, and they all have inherent worth and dignity. She gave us the reassurance we needed without vilifying anyone. She threw us a life preserver, a brief invitation to practice liberal faith. If this were all I had to say, if all I had to do was remind everyone that people who disagree with us are still people of inherent worth and dignity, that the non-leftists among us have just as much right to be here as anyone, and that we ought not to disparage Christians and other theists, I probably wouldn't be here with you today. This has been a topic of discussion in UU churches for decades. No, what actually brings me here is a much more essential message, one might say an existential message. I am worried about the future of liberal religion itself. I believe it is drowning in fundamentalism. I don't see fundamentalism in my own congregation, but I do see it in the UU World magazine, on the Unitarian Universalist Association website, and during General Assembly. They say our denomination has no creed, but I think it does now. Briefly speaking, the creed at the heart of UUA fundamentalism is identitarianism. This creed is, by the way, ascendant in every American cultural institution and not just the UUA. Identitarianism is the belief that people are not to be understood as individuals, but as representatives of identity groups. Additionally, as practiced today, this framework sorts people by identity labels, primarily of race, gender, and sexuality, into oppressor and oppressed, or centered and marginalized, regardless of individual circumstances. I must emphasize that last part. Individual suffering and individual agency are absolutely not part of the new creed. The publications, communications, and policies of the UUA and other UU organizations are suffused with this belief. The UU World, for example, is very open in its practice of selecting articles based on the identity labels of the author. When the UUA hired a regional director in 2017, he was viewed by some as being the incorrect choice because he was of the incorrect skin color. And the resulting controversy resulted in the resignation of the UUA president. At General Assembly this year, almost every speaker prefaced their speech with a description of their physical appearance, hair color, clothing, and degree of fatness, as well as their racial, gender, and sexual identity labels. At one point during GA, the racial percentages of the UUA Board of Trustees and two UUA commissions were read aloud to applause. The actual figures were 60%, 40%, and 32% people of color. Now, I am very happy and comfortable with all kinds of diversity, including racial diversity, but to track the percentages of each board and committee and to say that the more people of color, the better, is to value people by their skin color. It makes a fetish of race. It's tokenizing. And therefore, even though it is supposedly positive, it is dehumanizing. As you can probably tell, I don't like this belief system. It goes against my liberal and religious principles, especially those of empathy, shared humanity, and critical thinking. Empathy depends upon an understanding of a person as an individual, whereas this identitarian system sees people only in terms of their group identity and ignores their personal circumstances. It dismisses concepts of shared humanity because, based on those group labels, it identifies people as oppressors or victims, rather than as human beings with common human failings, human struggles, and human gifts. It disparages reason, logic, and evidence as facets of white supremacy culture, and instead only acknowledges anecdotal experiences of certain people. Still, it could be said, and I'm saying it, that there is room in our religion for people who hold these views, even though I believe the ideas are illiberal. Certainly, some people in my own congregation believe this way to some extent, as do many of my friends and acquaintances outside of church, and I love them as they are. They in turn love me as I am, or at least they put up with me, which is fine. The problem is the fundamentalist nature of the belief system. It is very important that I make clear that the UUA and every other American institution consumed by this new identitarianism is not promoting the interest of marginalized identity groups. Despite its rhetoric of liberation, it does not fight for the oppressed and against the oppressor. What it does is create an in-group and an out-group. An in-group of morally pure true believers and an out-group of heretics who must be silenced and who have been. In the end, one's color, gender, and sexuality only matter in a surface way after all. What is important is that each individual profess belief in the identitarian ideology. This was made clear during General Assembly in June this year when Susan Frederick Gray, the UUA president, continually suggested that all dissent from the policies promoted by UUA leadership was wrong. People concerned about the cultural shift from liberalism to identitarianism, she painted as fearful power mongers. People worried about the loss of freedom of belief as a central tenet of Unitarian Universalism, she painted as selfish individualists. People who held to congregational polity, that is the independence of congregations within the UUA, she painted as racists. It wasn't just her though. It was nearly every person who took the stage at GA. There was no room on stage for dissent or disagreement, and very little room for it off stage. I felt like I was attending a fundamentalist megachurch. So what's the antidote to fundamentalism? I believe it's liberal religion itself. First of all, UUs should remember that we are a religion and not a political party. At the heart of our denomination should be such themes as morals, meaning, suffering, community, and awe. Of course, moral communities are often political, and I'm not arguing against political action by congregations. But we make a grave moral error when we confuse political policies with moral values. A policy is just a social strategy that may or may not work to make things better in the way we hope. A policy is not the hope itself. In fact, I can tell you from experience that policies often act counter to the hopes that gave rise to them. So please, please don't mistake policies for values. We make an even graver error when we assume that those who don't support certain policies must not share our values. I'll give you an example. Someone who supports gun control might have as a central value the desire for safety. People who want to limit guns want to protect themselves, their families, and their communities from violence. Likewise, someone who supports gun rights might have as a central value the desire for safety. People who want the right to own guns want to protect themselves, their families, and their communities from violence. The values are the same. It's the strategies that are different, sometimes very different. but to refuse to recognize the human needs and values we share with our political opponents is to dehumanize them. Dehumanizing them makes it easier for them in turn to dehumanize us. Nothing good comes of this. It is better to talk as much as possible with those who disagree and to explore values together to create opportunities for heart-to-heart engagement and to see one another clearly. In this era of extreme political polarization, Unitarian Universalism ought to be a shining beacon of liberality and common humanity. We should be leading the way, teaching our communities how to communicate and love across differences, and celebrating the values that bring all humans together. We must be able to articulate and live out a liberal vision of free thought, free discourse, individual worth, and shared human experience. Will the UUA exhaust its identitarian fundamentalism and return to this liberal vision? I don't know. But my faith, my stubbornness, and my trust is not with the UUA, but with my congregation and in our UU principles. It is said that a path is made by people walking on it. Likewise, liberality is made by people maintaining liberal practices. I have chosen to make liberality my religion, and I'm sticking with it. I'm keeping the faith, and I hope you do too, each in your own way.
Thank you, Rebecca, for sharing your thoughts with us this Sunday. We reserve time in our services for matters of the heart, for people to share a brief joy or concern. We will have a brief music interlude while people gather their thoughts and come up here and share them. Thank you. We'd like to close this time of sharing with Spirit of Life. The words and music by Carolyn McDade. This is performed by the First Parish of Brewster, Massachusetts, keeping with our New England theme, I guess. I'd like to close this service with the reading called Stand By This Faith. I'll read both parts again. Stand by this faith, work for it, and sacrifice for it. There is nothing in all the world so important as to be loyal to this faith, which has placed before us the loftiest ideals, which has comforted us in sorrow, strengthened us for noble duty, and made the world beautiful. Do not demand immediate results, but rejoice that we are worthy to be entrusted with this great message. That you are strong enough to work, go on finding ever new applications of these truths and new enjoyments in their contemplation, always trusting in the one God which ever lives and loves. I extinguish this chalice, but not the faith and love that goes with it, that it represents to the world. Our closing song is Sing Our Praises for the Journey. Rise and stand, if you are willing and able to sing.
Sing.